Yes, it's Gardening Talkback time, and I'm joined by the lovely Judy Sharp. Hello, Judy.
Hello, Amanda.
Great to have you here again.
Thank you.
Now, you've got a big list of things to get through today, so we're going to talk about
hippiastrums.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, but I might start with, have you noticed avocados have been very popular?
I have.
Callers, yeah.
Yes, a lot of people have been ringing up about avocados.
Last week, unfortunately, one gentleman rang, but he was a bit late.
Okay.
And he rang about his avocado at Birmingham Gardens, and he's got a reed, R-E-E-D, an 8-year-old reed avocado, and he helps the fruit set by putting a sprinkler under the tree, mist for 2 hours.
Okay.
Interesting.
Mm.
You would have thought they like dry, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have thought anything because I don't know anything about avocados.
So I thought, well, we'll talk about avocados today because they have been popular. People have been ringing in with all different things. But, you know, so I checked it out a little bit. And in coastal areas, it's called the furter.
The furter.
The furter. F-U-R-E-R-T-E. That's the one that does better on the coastal areas.
Okay.
Yeah, because we had one at the old nursery at Merriweather. We were there, I've lost track of how many years. It never fruited.
Okay.
It met the axe in the end.
Oh, dear.
Well, why would you have an avocado? And people used to come up to the counter and say, what's that tree down there? Oh, it's an avocado. Oh, do you get a lot of fruit?
Nope.
No, not at all, not at all. So, you know, I just had a look and see what is the best ones for the coastal area, and the furter is the best one. And it ripens from April to for several months. So a lot of avocados, but this gentleman was talking about another variety that I didn't know, so he might ring in today and tell us some info.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what I was going to suggest is that you get one that is going to develop in this area if you want one.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
It does make sense, doesn't it? So, you know, when you go around shopping, just look for the furter variety. And remember last week we were talking a little bit about their sexual habits?
Oh, yes.
No, that's true.
Yes,
it's true.
Yes, I remember.
It is true that they change. They swap and change.
Now, this is a G-rated show.
I know. So I'll move on to the fruit. No. You know, avocados aren't green on the tree.
They're not green?
No, not green at all.
What are they?
Oh, they're a beigey colour, very ordinary looking. But that's when you pick them.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. So that's just a little couple of hints on avocados today.
Okay, so they change sex. They change colour.
Yeah, and they're not green on the tree.
And they're different ones for different areas.
Yeah.
Gardening Talkback on 2NURFM. And we've got Roy from Rathmines on the line. Hi, Roy. Thanks for holding.
Hello, yeah, Roy. Afternoon. What can I help you with today?
Judy, I've got a question about pruning French penny trees.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, right.
Okay. I believe you're okay to take the top 30% off. I'm more worried about the leak of the sap. Then it won't be doing some harm to the tree.
Oh, right, okay. Yes, well, they do leak a little bit. You just probably paint it with some kind of sealant if you're worried.
Okay, sealant. What sort of sealant do you recommend?
You know, just a little. You can get something that looks a little bit like tar, but it isn't tar.
Okay. It's biodegradable, I guess.
But, Roy, honestly, I never have problems with them being pruned. Have you pruned yours before?
Yes, I have.
And you've had problems? It goes a bit where you...
Oh, no.
No?
No, not really. It's been relatively minimal, but I've got to get a bit more serious about it this season.
Right, so you're a bit concerned. So when are you going to do it, Roy?
Well, this is the next question. I've just about lost the leaves on one. There's still leaves on the other. And,
right.
I sort of thought after the leaves fall is the best time to tackle it.
Oh, wait till we start to get a little bit of springy weather.
Springy weather, okay.
Yeah, which isn't far off.
No, not at all.
No, not at all. But they're hard to kill, honestly, Roy.
Are they?
They're very hard to kill.
Why I've succeeded.
Well, you'll come chasing after me if it doesn't work for you, won't you?
If it doesn't work?
Yeah, if it doesn't work, all my advice.
Oh, no, I won't chase her. Not publicly anyway.
Okay, yeah, so can we wait just a little while till the weather warms up?
Okay, then, I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Roy, for the call.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
Bye, Roy. And next we've got Paul from Rankin Park. Hi, Paul, you've got an avocado question for Judy.
Hello,
yes.
Paul.
Hi, Judy. I've spoken to you a few times, actually, about my avocado tree. You may remember I grafted it, and it's about 3 metres or over 3 metres tall now. But I've got it's about probably 6-year-old, and there's still no fruit, but it is a bit stringy. But I'm actually, my question is when's a good time to maybe I could cut it back to maybe promote more growth down lower?
Oh, look, I'd wait to, you know, coming up to spring, I think.
Spring?
Yeah, okay. Coming up to a bit of warmer weather.
Yeah, and if I wanted to have it down so low enough that I could still grab, you know, like to reach if it does fruit, how severe can I cut it back?
Paul, have you ever had it fruit?
No. It's about 6-year-old.
Yeah, they can be.
And I've been... It's in the pot too, Judy. So.
Oh right, okay.
But I just don't know how far to cut it back. That's all. I just wanted to know when and how much.
Yeah, is it a decent size, Paul, in the pot?
It is.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing something right. Is it necessary to prune it?
Well, no. I was just thinking maybe that if I was to trim it at the top a bit would promote more growth down lower, which that was all my question was going to be.
Yeah, well, it will,
just
of course.
To promote
but
more growth. Yeah,
it will, of course, but then you might
I'm happy to leave it.
Yeah,
I'm thinking
leave it, Paul, because you might be cutting off the fruiting area.
Oh, okay.
The fruiting growth. You know, they're not easy. They're not easy to grow, to be honest. I mean, that gentleman.
No, I've been caring for it for 6 years, so I'm not giving up on it
yet.
Don't
give up. Well, you might have, if you were listening earlier, we had one at the Merriweather nursery and I chopped its head off.
I know, I did hear that, and that's why my ears pricked up, because I heard about avocado tree and I've been thinking about if I should cut mine back, but yeah, that was the reason I'm ringing today. But
yeah.
I'll leave it. It's happy. It looks happy. The leaves are good. So
no, just leave it, Paul. Look, honestly, you can imagine we did everything with this tree because it was in the middle of the nursery and people would ask questions about it. But it was never happy. Never happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, well, hopefully mine's happy and I shall get some fruit off it.
Okay.
Within a couple of years.
Okay, Paul, ring us back if we're still on the air in a couple of years and let us know, do you get fruit?
I'm sure you will. I think I remember asking you the program should go for 2 hours, not 1 hour.
Did you, Paul? Oh, look.
I was going to shout your lunch, remember?
Oh, that's right, I do remember. But you know what the problem is here, darling? They'll only let me drink water.
Oh, well, that's no good.
Yeah. 2 hours, I might need something else. Maybe some lunch or something.
Oh, yeah, some beautiful fish and chips or something.
You can bring in some avocados.
Okay, Paul. Look, thank you for the call. Love talking to you, darling. Bye.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we've got Arvid's from Mayfield. Hi there. Have I got the name right?
You have. It's because Judy knows who I am.
Oh, okay. Tell me some more, Arvid.
Because I lived next door to you when you were in Cook's Hill.
In Cook's Hill?
Remember?
Oh, of course. Oh, my apologies. My apologies. How are you?
I'm good. Sort of good. I'm getting old.
Oh.
But, yeah. Yeah, I've still got those two happy plants you told me.
Yeah.
And the one thing I'm going to ask you about, one of the happy plants has sprouted a seed pod on the top.
Oh, no, they do. They do. So well, yeah. Yeah, no, you're doing well.
Yeah. Just talk to me now.
Oh, are you enjoying living in Mayfield instead of next to the nursery in Derby Street?
No. But I've finally got used to it. It's a nice place I'm in.
Oh, that's good, darling.
No, Cook's Hill I enjoyed. But I drove past one day and you were gone, and I thought, well, bugger. But, yeah, now that's all I was going to ask about the happy plant. But it's funny, I've got one that doesn't get sunlight of any, it's indirect light.
Right.
And another one in the living room that gets sunlight on it, but it doesn't grow as big as the other one.
Right, okay. So I would have thought the one where that was getting light would be the one that's got the flowers on.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
That's the one that gets the indirect light.
Right.
It's got the flower on it. I should ask about that. But,
yeah, and Arvid, have you ever fertilised it since you bought them from me?
Oh, a couple of times.
Oh, okay, a couple of times. Well, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Maybe the one that's not flowering needs a little bit of a boost.
Oh, probably. I don't know. But with the flower, the seed pods on the top, what should I do with them?
Oh, look, just they will naturally die off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. That can't hurt the plant.
No. Okay.
Yeah, but you can cut them off if you're not happy with the look of them, because they will gradually die off. But now you've got something to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite funny. But I enjoy my happy plants, because if they're happy, I'm happy.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm glad I sold you something to make you happy, Arvid. Lovely talking to you, and ring back again, won't you?
I will if I have a problem, but at the moment I don't.
Well, you don't, but a happy problem. A happy problem, darling.
It is. How are you going?
Oh, like a house on fire.
Oh, good.
Do I sound like I am, like a house on fire?
Oh, that's good. I'll leave you to it.
Okay.
Thanks, Arvid. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome. You'll have other people who want to talk to you, so...
She's a busy woman. She is. She's a woman in demand.
Very much so. I knew that even when I lived next door to her in Cook's Hill. She's a busy woman then, but...
Nothing changes.
For our cups of tea.
Yes, we did.
Sunday morning.
Yes, we did.
Well, you have a good day, Arvid. Thank you so much for the call.
Then no problem. Bye.
Okay, bye. And we've got Mark from Curry Curry on the line.
Hello, Mark. What can I help you with today?
Hello, Jude. Listen, I've got a problem with a weed that's growing in my lawn out the front.
Right, okay. Have you got winter grass?
No, it's not winter grass.
Right.
It's the thing that's been coming for the last, 5 or 6 years.
Right.
And it's there constantly.
And have you tried to eliminate it?
I've tried... Bindi, I've tried the multiple weed, whatever you call it, from the from Bunnings and the hardware.
Right.
I've even hit it with Roundup, which gives me dead spots in the lawn.
What kind of grass is it? Can you remember?
It's like a, what do you call it, cooch?
Oh, a cooch.
Cooch and Kaikuya mix.
Right, okay. But clean lawn or something should have done.
My neighbours have got the same problem with this same weed,
right.
And we've tried vinegar, we've tried everything, and it just won't get rid of it.
Right, okay. But, Mark, I'm surprised the Bindi didn't get rid of it.
I've even mixed the Bindi with the broadleaf thing. It knocked it back a bit, but it still came back.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's a bit of a mystery because, you know, cooch and buffalo and things like that, they're easy to get rid of the weeds in. But, you know, you've used a designated product for the weed, haven't you?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So
I don't know what the weed is.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you describe it to me?
I've taken photos of it and I've tried to send it to your program, but I can't seem to work out how to do that.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, you can try and send it to reception@2NURFM.com.
Yeah.
And see if it goes through. I think I'll double check that. I think that's what it is. I don't think there's an AU at the end. But I'll just check. I'll ask reception. I'm sure they're listening. See if you can do that. And then hopefully we can have a look at that for next week, and we'll go through it then and see if Judy can find a...
Because, Mark, it really is a bit of a problem, I can tell, but a friend of mine's just used vinegar to get rid of moss on the lawn, and it killed it outright.
Yeah, yeah. My neighbour across the road and myself, my neighbour next door, he reckons he got over it by just letting his buffalo just overgrow it.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to have come back.
Right, okay. But you haven't got buffalo, have you?
No.
No. No, well, see, I wonder what he used on the buffalo.
Well, he just said all he did was just grow it long.
Right,
okay. Smother it out.
Ah, yeah, well, that's unusual for buffalo too. It generally isn't very responsive like
it's
that.
It's a strange sort of weed.
It is, yeah. Okay. Mark, look, can you send that through?
Yeah. Give us
it goes like a crawler. It just seems to crawl.
Right, okay. And are you sure it's not some kind of grass?
I don't know.
Okay, well, let's have a look at the photo.
Yeah, if you can send the photo, you can send it to reception at 2NURFM.com.
Reception?
At 2NURFM.com. And then we can have a look at that, and hopefully Judy can find an answer for you for next week.
2NURF.com.
2NURFM.com.
Yep.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Good luck with that, and hopefully I'll have a look at that next week and maybe have an answer for you, Mark.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. And next we've got Brad from East Gresford. Thanks for holding, Brad. How can we help you?
No trouble. Just a quick question. I actually had a frangipani question, but that got answered. So the next one was I've got a nice big tall macadamia nut tree, and I was just wondering what your best care and fertiliser options are for that, and should I be breaking off any of the old deadwood from the leftover sort of little stems that come down that have the nuts on them, like
right.
Once it's all fruited.
And so have yours fruited there, Brad?
Yeah, it's lovely. It's not as much Christmas, like summer gone, because I think it was a lot drier and I tried to keep as much water up to it as I could, but on tank water, so it's sort of limited. But the year before that, I had, probably a bucket and a half or two buckets full. It was lovely.
Oh, good on you. Yeah. But, Brad, don't you get frost at East Gresford?
We do, but we haven't had really, particularly this winter, I haven't had a day below zero, or I think the coldest day where we are here is about probably 4 degrees or something.
Yeah. I think we all think we've had a cold winter, but I think it's been because of the rain.
Yes,
definitely.
Just keeping the temperatures up a bit. So. But no, it hasn't been too cold. So.
Yeah, look, I would, I don't think you need to leave those little, where your nuts have come off, I'd prune that back.
Yep, break all them off,
cut them off. Instead of break, cut it would be better.
Yeah. And we've got a couple of horses and cows here. Is it all right to throw a bit of their stuff underneath it to get any growth out of it, or just let it go, or what's its normal, need a bit of feed? Or?
Well, they do like a bit of feed, but if yours is happy, which I'm surprised at the area where you live, I wouldn't fertilise it unless you think it needs it.
Okay, yep, no, that's all good, yeah.
And give me a ring back if you want to know something to fertilise it with, but I'd leave it at the moment, dear.
No, sounds good. We'll just wait for the next batch of fruit to come on.
Oh, wow. excuse me, do you know where the studio is?
Between myself and my kids, we sit out the back of the shed and they go quite quickly.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Of a late afternoon, so unfortunately. Yeah, so.
Don't come down for a drive.
No worries. Okay.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Bye. And we've got Deb from Cardiff. Thanks for holding. Deb, how can we help you today?
Thank you. I'm probably not as colourful as Arvid, but I do have an avocado tree. It was accidentally, it just grew from about, I'd say 2.1 metres away from my back door in my garden, and it's now about 19 years old, and it's at least well over 3 metres, but I have been pruning it. I just wanted to know, is it safe for it to be that close to the house?
Oh, Deb, but does it fruit for
you? Yes, it fruits.
Oh, wow. You're doing
the
well.
The problem is it gets about 6 to 8, sometimes even 9 avocados on it. And if I don't get in quick or put some, like, mesh over the fruit, the possums get into
the avocado.
Yeah, because they can easily go from the roof of my house down from an awning in the back door straight onto the avocado tree.
Oh, that's a shame because they're not easy to grow. And if you're getting fruit, well done.
Yeah, but I'm also worried I have to get work done in the back of my house. And I'm also worried it's very close to the house, so I have to prune it, especially on one side. But also it's about 2.1 metres from the water that goes down from my kitchen, so the pipe.
Right.
So I am a little bit worried about that.
I wonder if that's why it's fruiting for you.
I do water it. I give it about 6 to 7 litres of water a day.
Right, okay.
That when it's not raining.
Yeah.
But as soon as the leaves turn brown, I realise that it has to be watered. It gets misted regularly and it gets watered regularly. But what I wanted to know, it does grow in a garden that's got bricks around it and also the back steps. Has got like a border with a lot of bricks and there's like a little garden at the very top of the bricks, sort of like a stair rail of bricks, if you know what I mean. And I'm wondering, does that work as a root barrier for the roots? Or
definitely.
Because I'm worried. I did actually ask a few arborists when I did have my... I've got a mulberry tree as well down the back and I have asked the arborists that have come to prune the mulberry tree, would they like to take the avocado out? And, you know, even offered it for free to them, but they said, oh, no. But I also have a mulberry tree at the back that was planted by previous owners of the house, and it would have to be, I'd say, at least 30 years old, maybe 34 years old. And I did manage to get a little baby sapling there in the garden and just put it in a pot, and I've noticed the leaves are variegated.
Oh, really?
Is it normal to have a variegated mulberry?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. But, Deb, look, you sound like the avocado. You don't have to prune it back, do you?
Mainly I'm doing that so the branches don't sort of touch the side of the house.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
no, that's
also,
fair enough.
I have whiz bins around there as well, so it's easy for me to open up my whiz bin lid. But I have had to sort of prune all the lower branches off just so I can get around it, if you know what I mean. Because if I didn't prune it, it would be virtually having lower branches right down the bottom. And
oh, okay, Deb. But it is still fruiting after you prune it, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's still fruiting after you prune it.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, let's keep pruning it.
Yes, yeah. I just wanted to know, as it's so close to the piping, like the plumbing, like all the water pipes going into my kitchen are above ground, but there is a pipe going down from my kitchen sink, and that's about 2.1 metres away from the very base of the avocado, so I'm worried that it's...
Look, that might be... I think that might be clearance. I think it'll be okay, Deb.
It'll be okay.
I think so, dear.
All right. And also, I wanted to know about root rot when it comes to golden cypress pines or cypress pines, what we can do about it once they start dying back and losing their leaves at the top.
Right, okay. So you've got root rot. You've identified it as that, have you?
I think it is. I haven't dug down deep, but the soil is very, very wet.
Right, okay.
I have problems with drainage there because the house that was built there 14 years ago, when they built the house, they built up the backyard and to the point where it's at least, there's a clear difference of at least 2 foot, and right where the fence is, it's like 40 centimetres difference. It's higher to my side of the garden. So I've sort of put a French drain in there just near it at the back of the garage, but I'm thinking I might have to put a French drain where the cypress pine is as well, or get it. There is gravel and there's a lot of stones there, but I thought I might have to remove all the mulch. It's just making it hard for it to dry out.
Yes, that could be the case. But, Deb, we've had a lot of rain too.
Oh, we've had a
we
nice
have.
Amount of
I
rain.
I mean, we're grateful, but, you know, it could be a problem. So, look... deal with both of those the best way you can. I think you're on the ball. I don't think you need my advice, to be honest. So
no. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the call, Deb. We really appreciate it. This is Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. You're a busy woman today, Judy. We've got Richard from Curry on the line. Thanks for holding, Richard.
No worries. How are you going?
Good, thanks. You want to talk about weeds?
Yes, please. How are you going, Jude?
I'm very well, thank you, Richard. We can't complain. The sun's out and we're happy.
Hey, the bloke that rang up Mark before, he lived in Curry too. I think I had the same stuff out of my footpath, that weed.
Oh, right,
it
yeah.
Sort of. It does. It spreads. I mow out the front on the lowest it can go on the mower, and it didn't even sort of take the top to go near it. And I think it gets little yellow flowers on it, real small ones.
Right,
about,
okay.
Oh, a couple, well, not even a half a centimetre across.
He didn't mention that.
He sprayed it with something that they use in agriculture, because his son-in-law is on a farm.
Right.
And it wasn't anything else wouldn't kill it, weed or feed or any of those other things. Yeah, but this got rid of it. It would have taken over the whole footpath if it kept going, yeah.
Yeah. Richard, he didn't mention it having yellow flowers, so I hope he's still listening.
I'm pretty sure it did, or a little white flower, but there weren't very many of them.
Okay, so do you mind telling me what you sprayed them with?
No, I'll find that out and ring you back next week if you like.
Okay,
yeah.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah,
thank
but
you,
it wasn't
Richard.
Something, you had to get it from, like, say, up here, Kirkwood.
AgServe or somewhere like that.
Like a farm store, yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it was pretty strong, I think, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
give us a ring back.
Give you a ring back next week.
Wonderful. Thanks,
thank
Richard.
You.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Okay, bye. And we've got Sue from Charlestown.
Yeah.
Yes. Hi, Sue. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Sue. What can I help you with today?
Hi, Jude. I think I spoke to you about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was asking about the crepe myrtle.
All right, pruning
and
it?
Yes.
Right.
There's not a leaf on it now, and the bits that are left look terrible.
Right.
But I've also got two new ones on the side path, but they're only about, I'm not into metrics, 4 foot high. How far would I trim that back? Just take a quarter of it off, or what do I do with it?
It's only that small, is it?
Yeah, it's about 4 foot high, yeah.
Look, have you really got to prune it this time?
No, not really. That's why I was asking
you.
Yeah. I did it last year, and I think I was a little bit
heavy-handed, yeah.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, with crepe myrtles, you never cut back to the last year's pruning nodes.
Oh, okay.
Each year you have to prune above last year.
Oh, righto, Jude. Because it's like a fist if you go right down to the bottom, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
you've got to prune above where you did last year.
Oh, great. Okay,
so I think if you do that, you might be on the right.
And leave the two younger ones on the side footpath. I'll leave that till next year.
I would leave that till they get a bit of growth on them.
Okay, Jude. And just one other quick question, hydrangeas. When do I do those?
Hydrangeas, yes. Yeah. Far away.
Yeah, well, when would I prune those?
Oh, the hydrangeas. Oh, no, you can start to prune them soon.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Because they're looking terrible, actually.
Yeah. And you know how to fertilise them, don't you?
Yes, Jude, yep.
Oh, good girl.
I'm very happy with the colours I've got in the back.
Excellent,
so
excellent.
Don't do the wrong thing.
Okay.
Okay, Jude, thank you so much for that.
Thank you for
Thanks,
the call, Sue. Bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, we've got Janet from Blacksmiths on the line. Hi, Janet, appreciate you holding. You want to talk about fertilising?
Yes.
Hello, Janet. Fertilising trees or roses, or what are we fertilising?
I have a camellia and a stephanotis in one garden bed.
Right.
And the stephanotis is going great guns. It's, you know, really healthy. But my poor camellia is suffering. And like, I know that you feed a camellia with camellia food, but I didn't know if that would have an adverse effect on the stephanotis.
The stephanotis, yeah. And they can be difficult to grow, Janet, so we need to be a bit careful on that score. But now tell me, your camellia, what kind of camellia is it? Is it a japonica or a Sasanqua?
Yeah. No, it's a very old japonica.
An old japonica. And have you ever given it the fertiliser for it?
It hasn't. Well, it would have been fertilised before I came here.
Oh, right, okay.
But since I've been here, I haven't fed it.
Well, you know what I like for them? Cow manure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Would that be all right with the stephanotis?
Look, I think you have to be very careful with that stephanotis. So don't get carried away. Even if you put the cow manure and made it a liquid, So you could just try and concentrate on the camellia.
Right.
How does that sound? Is that going to work for you?
That sounds good.
Yeah, because I think the stephanotis, if you put camellia food on it, might be a bit rich for it.
Right.
But that, don't ring me and say the stephanotis has died, will you?
That was what I was worried about. That if I did give it the, because I didn't know if camellia food would,
Yeah, I think I'd make up a mixture of cow manure in water and just water it around the camellia.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
Give me a buzz back and let us know next time how it is.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Janet, for the call.
Bye.
Thanks, bye. Wow, it's been very, very busy today, Judy. You haven't stopped.
No.
Haven't stopped. But before we go, you've got a few things that you want to talk about. And actually, George in reception, he's just let us know the name of that weed that I think Richard was talking about was Richardia, also known as white eye.
Right, okay, yeah.
Does that mean anything to you?
No.
Okay.
But then again, the gentleman that did call in, he didn't say it had flowers on it.
Right, that was Mark.
Yeah, so we'll roll with that one, I think, and just check up on that next week again.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Now, also, you wanted to talk about, now I'm going to say it again wrong, Hippiastrum. Yeah, that.
One of my favourites. Okay, so they'll start to die off soon, but they look wonderful in a low bowl because they're a bulb, Amanda.
Right.
They have a bulb underneath them. And if you put them in a large, shallow bowl, you know what I do?
What?
When they flower, and they flower beautiful, you know they have really large flowers.
Right.
Some of them are red, some of them are white with a dash of red.
Oh, they
sound
lovely.
Some of them pink. They are beautiful. They'll grow easy. I'll bring you some in.
Okay. That'll be great. Thank
you. That'll be good.
And I'll try not to kill them.
It can match your orchid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so at the moment, the hippiastrums can be moved and repotted. And they really look good in a nice big bowl, and then you take it inside.
Lovely.
But they grow easy. They're not fussy creatures at all.
Right.
Even my Arthur goes digging around them.
Oh, good on him. That's great. Now, also, you wanted to talk about prepping tomatoes.
Oh, okay. Yes, tomato beds can be prepped now, ready for spring planting. So what do you use for tomatoes? Cow manure.
Yes, I was about to say that.
Of course you
were. Yeah, it was. It was on the tip of my tongue.
Good, good. Yeah, so cow manure now, dig it in and leave it vacant or leave it dormant till it's ready to plant the tomatoes when spring arrives.
Okay, and issues with succulents.
Oh, you know why.
Why?
Too much rain on them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they'll be dropping their, if you see your succulents dropping the leaves, check for leaf drop, which is caused by too much rain. Spray with Mancozeb.
Or get outside with a hairdryer. Yeah. No, I'm joking.
Spray with Mancozeb, if anyone's listening. We might talk about that again next week.
Yeah, that sounds good. And lastly, deciduous fruit trees.
Deciduous fruit trees should be getting sprayed with copper oxychloride while they're dormant.
While they're dormant? So
While they're dormant. Well, they're
not
deciduous. Flower.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Excellent. So they're dormant.
All right. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, I suppose it does to some of us.
maybe not me.
So you should spray with copper oxychloride now before the new leaves appear.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Judy. It's been one busy afternoon, and we look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM.